And so I'm not on the top of my game. But next game, another team that wasn't on the top of their game, North Melbourne. North Melbourne getting beaten by the Sydney Swans, 71-60. Anthony, I had Sydney winning the spoon this year, winning, if you can say that. But they played well, didn't they?
This is one of those games where I think both teams went hard. But Sydney did – both these teams have this brand about them where it's contested, it's tight, you know these teams are going to do it. Mm-hmm. And Sydney, I think it's the first time we've seen them play that way in a little bit.
Confidence, haven't they? I don't know what's been going on with Sydney, but they're just not – they're a good side. They've got some really good players.
Well, they always have been. This is the thing with Sydney. Like, even when they're rebuilding, they're a good side. But you're – like the players they've got through the draft because of father son and zoning and everything like that, the Heaneys, your Mills, guys like this, they've never had to drop out because they've just had these players just waiting for them to come in. So anyway, look, the issue with Sydney that we thought was goal kickers, like avenues to goal, because Buddy's not there. They don't have any tall forwards. How do they get their goals? They answered that again this week with Heaney, Papley, you know, and then just spread. Dawson,
Parker, Kennedy got a point, but then you've got Blakey, Taylor, Hayward. They're all on the scoreboard.
They kicked 10 goals for the game, but only one player kicked more than one goal.
And that was Papley with 2-1.
Yeah, you know, and he worked his ass off this game. Like he was up and down the ground.
He's a good player.
Some of his handballs in this game were incredible, like how he set people into space. He was looking really good. You can see why Carlton were going so hard for him because he's a good player. We know he is. Yeah. Whereas you look at the flip side, they kicked 8 goals for the game, North Melbourne, but 3 of them were kicked by Brown. You know, yeah, so which, look,
you want him to get
goal kickers
3 a game anyway, but look, he can't do it alone. He can't.
Yeah, but that's where this game was won or lost. It was Sydney's just really outmuscled them, and I think honestly Cunnington was the biggest loss here, because when you go into the clinches and you want a contested ball, Cunnington does that for North Melbourne, and then Cunnington going out meant as soon as Higgins started getting off the chain, they clamped him down.
Yeah.
Whereas in the week previous, they started a tagger on Higgins. Sorry, they started a tagger on Cunnington.
And moved to Higgins.
Higgins got off the chain. They went to Higgins, and then Cunnington got off the chain. Yeah. And by that stage, it was...
As well with this game, you look at the dominance of Goldstein here, and... When you've got your ruckman dominating that much, you really do miss someone like Cunnington, don't you? Because that's what they were lacking there. They were lacking Cunnington.
His first hands on the ball, feeding it outside, you know?
Yeah.
In saying that, Simkin really, really played well here, and he's continuing what looks like a breakout year. I'm a bit dirty on him because the last 2 years, I've picked up Simkin in both all teams thinking this kid's good. He's going to break out.
And he hasn't.
And this year I've been like, you know what? No, Simkin, I've given you enough chances. You're just never going to do it. And he's breaking out. So I don't want to admit it, but Simkin's good. And it's looking real.
And so I thought Lynch would have a breakout year this year. Didn't happen. Simkin, it's happening. It's happening. And he scored. He went huge, and I mean, it was helped by, so he had 26 touches. I think that was a game high. Yes, it was. But he was helped by 5 frees, 4. And that just shows
first of
lot of effort, doesn't it? It just shows first of the ball.
That's all it is. First of the ball. But also you've got 4 tackles.
Yeah.
That's almost team high tackles right there. If I've managed.
And 1-1. So 1-1, 4 tackles, 26 touches, 3, 5,
big
5,
game.
3, 4.
Big game.
Huge. That is a huge game.
Hall's another one who,
yeah.
Hall's one of those guys who, do you remember when he played for Gold Coast? He went 3 rounds getting 3 votes.
Yeah.
He had 9 votes after 3 rounds or something.
He was hyped at Gold Coast, wasn't he? And he sort of just disappeared from people's recognition.
It's what happens. Sometimes you're best 22 at Gold Coast and you just fringe at every other club.
Yeah.
You know, it's the opposite of GWS.
Yeah. But he had a good game here. He had a good game.
Yeah. Really stepped up.
He wasn't accurate in front of goal, 1-3. But, you know, he still scored well, 86 Dream Team, 104 Super Coach. He had a good game.
Mm. So one thing we did say at the start of the year with Sydney is that for them to win games, they really need guys like – they rely on guys like Candy and Parker to go big. If they don't, they're not going to win. And that's been kind of proven so far at 3 games. Because once again, Candy and Parker went big.
Yep,
and they won.
So Kennedy, you know? bit of a magnet there. You know, he 84 dream team, but 126 super coach, only one behind.
I wish we could do like little kind of clips here, because there was a moment for Kennedy where they just showed his intent, because he picked up the ball in the middle, speared it to, I think it was Papley, but speared it too low. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hit Papley's feet as he's gone for it. I'm not sure if it was Papley. I'm sorry. But the ball's bounced up.
I'd be sorry, just don't do it again.
Yeah, and his opponents got the ball. And Kennedy shirt-fronted it. So Kennedy was so dirty with his kick that he sprinted to the contest that he kicked to and nailed the player instead of it being a turnover. And then that was a turnover, and the Swans kicked a goal from it.
Yeah, and he had six tackles overall, and that's huge. That's a huge effort along with
the short game spans. What we're looking at is that, and this is what we're having to adjust, is that 30 touches aren't 30 touches anymore.
No, 25 is 30 touches.
We know that. Is the new 30.
It is.
And 30 is the new 35 to 40.
Yep, it is. And so 30 touches in this new shortened game is a phenomenal effort. That is
for Kennedy to get 22 here.
Yep.
That'd be like getting 28.
Yeah,
you know, around there somewhere usually. So it's a big gap.
Yeah, and then also Heaney there as well.
The difference is, so that's where if Kennedy and Parker play well, Heaney's going to play well, because if they're playing well, it means the service they're getting into the forward line is what they need, and that's what Heaney's getting. Unfortunately, Heaney's only going to play well when he's get good service, because they're not letting him into that midfield. He's their only forward at this stage who can stand up there, take a market goal.
And only one goal too. But as we said, there were a lot of players getting goals for Sydney.
But goal too shows opportunity.
Yeah, it does. Well, he had eight marks, and I'm not sure how many of them were in the forward 50, but I would imagine
most. He didn't go into the back line. So yeah. And then Blakey up there with him as well.
Yep.
Look good.
Yep.
Hewitt's the player they used to tag, which is why his super coach scores a lot better than his dream team. Look at that differential right
there. Yeah, so dream team 37, super coach 84. But he tagged Higgins and did a great job on him. Yeah.
So Ollie Florence, the guy who I was paying attention to, because I bought him off the waiver wire this week thinking he's going all right.
Yeah, 95.
And he's pumped out at 95, so it's good to see there. Yeah, of course. Sinclair's a guy I'm laughing about.
Oh, mate.
We've been having this conversation in the background here of our little draft thing, where old mate Zach said, I meant to get Sinclair and got Naismith.
Yeah, he got Naismith instead of Sinclair.
Got Sinclair this week for 37. But I tried to explain it to him in the group, is that Sinclair's not the number one ruckman. Naismith is.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I know.
You know, when Naismith comes back, Sinclair's not going to be rucking.
And Sinclair, Sinclair has too small of a head to be number one ruckman. He's got a little tiny head. He can't play.
Oh, man. But he can't was play with a head dominated by Goldstein this week.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Goldstein. I thought he was too old. I thought he was too slow. I thought he was over the hill. I thought he was done. Is he still a top five ruckman in the game?
Have a look at his game time.
Yeah, 96%, 35 hitouts, 18 touches, two marks, two tackles, and then got four frees and a behind. He was a monster.
This dude's like a good wine.
How old is Goldstein? I need to check. But how's he doing?
Only like 33 around there somewhere.
But even so, look, how's he doing it?
Yeah, drugs for sure.
He's 31. He's only 31. Jeez. So in fact, he's probably got 2-3 years left in him, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, you saw how long Sandy went for. He could be the next one.
Yeah.
He's just this lumbering body on body giant. He's giving him so much around the ground as well.
Yeah.
And they're lucky years, because they don't have another ruckman right now who can do
no,
that.
No, who is their second? Who are they?
I think Magic Door.
Oh, yeah, no, come on. Who are they training up? Not Magic Door. He's not going to be a ruckman. Come on.
Well, they keep getting rid of their ruckman, because Goldstein can't have someone ruck with them.
You can't. I know that, but you can't tell me that Magic Door is all they've got. You can't be telling me that.
No, he's their backup ruckman.
But who else have they got? Who else have they got? Magic Door's not going to be a
ruckman. This is what I want you to do. Have a look down that list and see who else from North Melbourne got a hit out. The answer is no one.
Yeah, But I mean, that's great as long as you've got Goldstein playing.
Yeah,
but
pretty much.
He's only got two or three.
They've probably got someone down their list who's doing it. But they had old mate from who went to Melbourne at the end of last year, because he couldn't get a game with Goldstein there. Honestly, we're pulling the piss out of him here. I think the guy's name we're looking for is Tristan Cherry, who's Cherry? Yeah, the one that's Xerri.
Cherry, yep.
Yeah, so he's if they were playing VFL right now, he'd be rucking for their VFL team. The problem is they can't play him in the same side as Brown because Goldstein has to be number one ruck and has to ruck. And then Cherry would be a forward chopping out. So yeah, that's the issue right now, is they've got this guy kind of languishing in no man's land because he can't play VFL because there's no VFL, and he can't play AFL because he will mess up their structures.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair. Look, fair. I just think that North Melbourne, they're very clearly in a rebuild. They've got a lot of good players coming through. I see that as a very serious issue for them in, let's say, 2-3 years. I think they're going to have it.
Well, I think 2-3 years, I think Cherry might be the guy we're looking at. But no, I can't remember his name, and it's doing my head in, but they did have someone coming through. He was an ex-NRL player.
Okay.
And I don't know him. He left and went to Melbourne for some reason. And that was just like, he left because he wanted more opportunity, but he went to a team that has Max Gorn. It just made no sense. God, I can see his face. It's doing my head in anyway. Some loser is not playing any games.
Yeah. Anyway, I can't even, I can't think, I can't search it. Yeah,
that's cool.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. So let's get on to the next game. Obviously North Melbourne, a bit of an upset there, not winning Sydney, getting over the top. As I said, anyone can beat bloody anyone this year. And so to the next game, this one, I think if you look at it from last year's form or even round one, this result is probably not unexpected, but after last week, after what we saw last week, this this was unexpected to me, and I'd love to get your thoughts. But Collingwood 12-9-81 beating Saints 5-7-37. I thought it would be closer.
I just want to jump in. I want to take us back to round one when Collingwood destroyed the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
And what we said in our review of that game was that Collingwood's capable of having a pressure rating so high that they can just maul a team, but they can't sustain that week in, week out.
They just, that's right.
They and did so that again this week.
Is that what it is? Is that they didn't have that pressure rating last week, and so this week they were able to do it?
No, last week, I believe both teams had that pressure rating.
Okay.
Last week was a really intense pressured game that forced a lot of errors, a lot of turnovers.
And it was just the problem with last week is it was played in the center too much. There was nothing really on the wings. But so was it that Collingwood was excellent, or was it that St Kilda was bad?
St Kilda, with the talent they have, they're not a bad side.
No, they're not.
They just got pressured so badly in this game that every time they touched the ball, they were getting tackled. They were handballing to the opposition. They were like, you could see on their face, they were panicking to the point where in the last quarter, they just looked like, what am I going to do as soon as I touch the ball? You know, it was Collingwood just put a masterclass on here. Grundy just, I thought he'd struggle with two dominant ruckmen, but they can't stop him around the ground, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
You've got to have your ruckman tag him, unfortunately.
So Grundy didn't score as well as he normally would have, and that's because he got four frees against him. So if you're looking just at his scores, 99 and 103, say, well, maybe he wasn't that dominant, but he was. He's just good. Oh, yeah. He's just too good.
Still 20 disposals for a ruckman.
20 disposals, 31 hitouts. You know, he's incredible.
Look, Sidebottom here turned it on. Amazing.
And how old is Sidebottom? He must be 33, right?
Oh, I don't know. He's great though. Stevenson is one I want to talk about here.
Sidebottom's 29. What the hell?
Yeah,
Sidebottom is younger than me. That's not
seems
right.
Like he's been in there a while.
That can't be wrong. That can't be right. Anyway, go on.
Well, remember I think he debuted the year they won that grand final.
Oh, mate. 2010?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was a rookie that year.
I thought he was 33, 34.
Yeah.
I thought he was. Wow. Okay, keep on.
Yeah, so Stevenson here. He was just like the missing piece that forward line that no one could understand why he wasn't playing. But obviously it was a personnel thing for Collingwood where they were taking a hard line and saying, no, you just walk back into a team. You've got to earn it. You know, so it's good to see them use that.
He should have walked back into a team. He should have. He's
100% should have.
He's so good.
He just gave their forward line something that they've been missing, which is that really pacey lead-up target. And for them to be able to hit him the way they do in space all the time is just amazing. But it's because it's got such a burst of speed off the.
Because they've got Collingwood obviously has a lot of smalls. There's a tall in Majacek. When Cox plays, I honestly think they're a worse team. I don't see how he.
So look, Cox isn't there. Cameron's up there doing a little bit for them, but he is chopping out Grundy in the ruck still, so it's good.
Yep.
But when you look at this forward line, you do see the similarities between what Richmond's premiership forward line looked like when they didn't have Lynch. Absolutely. It was just Riewoldt up there and all these small forwards around them causing chaos and getting that chaos ball. And Collingwood kind of has that same kind of build now, with Majacek being kind of your target.
Yep.
But your Stevenson, Dacos, Degoe, all of them. Just Elliot, these young kids. Elliot.
Even Adams from the midfield got two goals in this game. So, you know, you're right. This team, this forward line is very redolent of Richmond's premiership winning forward line.
Yeah, that 2017.
2017, yeah. Not last year, but 17 when they beat Adelaide. Yeah, 100%.
So it looks like that's kind of how they do play their best footy. But it's about also having, for them, the control in the middle. So they put the pressure on, but then they get the ball outside to side bottom or Pendlebury, who just always has all the time in the world. These guys, these really good ball users. And this midfield looked amazing.
Yep.
Treloar is coming back.
Oh, mate, I know. But you know what? You know what? Yes, their forward line is great. Their midfield is fantastic. But what they're doing that I love, that I think is fantastic, and what Richmond did when they won is their run off halfback. When you have players like Howe, Crisp, Maynard, when you've got these players running, you know, more running off halfback, that's how you win, isn't it?
It's willingness to leave your opponent after you know you've got them beat.
Yep.
There's a lot of players who leave their opponent, but then their opponent gets used in transition and they're like, oh, no, I've got to get back now. Mm-hmm. But it's covering for your player, knowing when you guys are going to run off. And you can do that when you're a tight defensive unit who have been playing together for a while. And
they are. They're an extremely good defensive unit. And I've always thought the Eagles had one of the best defenses, and they did last year and the year before. But look, the Eagles aren't showing that this year. The defensive unit is not there. But Collingwood, that they've got it. They've got it. Look, Collingwood has, across the ground, in my mind, one of the best teams. They have one of the best teams, enough to win the premiership this year. What do you think?
Oh, they're very strong, yeah. I think for Collingwood, it's about, if the game is not played on their terms, then things are going to go pear-shaped pretty fast.
Yeah, but when it is, we see this result, 81-37. When it's played on their terms, they do this.
Yeah. And especially to a team like St Kilda, who we have to say, the personnel they brought in and they're clicking, they're not a bad team.
They are clicking and they're looking good. And what I like to see in this game is Brad Hill had a fairly decent game, you know, 25 touches. And I don't think he's really shown that yet. You know, this game is what he showed it, where he showed it. And I love to see that.
Well, what I'm seeing with St Kilda is that I think Hanbury and him are kind of switching. So when Hanbury has a good game, Hill doesn't. When Hill has a good time game, Hanbury doesn't. Mm-hmm. I think when they both have a good team, we're going to see something here.
Yeah.
But, you know, Butler. So tell us the Richmond player they brought in.
Oh, and he was brilliant, wasn't he?
He's given him a lot more in the forward line than I think they even realized they were going to get from him. They brought him in to be like a lock this ball in our forward line kind of player, because he's a very good tackle pressure player. But he's giving him an avenue to goal that I don't think they realized they'd get from him.
Yeah, and he's very good. Look, I want to get your thoughts on Max King. Max King. Why aren't we seeing what we expected to see from him? What's going on there?
Well, still one goal one.
Yeah, one
he's
goal
getting,
one.
He's getting opportunity. He.
But we're using his name in the same sentence as Rowe and Walsh and Rosie. We're not seeing that. What's happening with him?
Well, he's coming off an ACL for a big man.
Oh, mate, come on, mate. ACL, that's nothing. I've done four of them myself. I've got one right now. I'll go do another one out the back.
Yeah.
I've got ACL.
But you're not playing top level AFL, saying.
Oh, okay, sorry, mate. I thought I was.
Yeah, you know. So, no, it does take, especially for big guys.
Yeah.
It does take a year of playing.
Mate, you don't have to tell me. Back. I'm a big guy. I'm huge.
I know, you're ripped. So that's what I think we're seeing, but we're still seeing a lot from him. What I think gets people excited about him are the glimpses you're seeing that he takes the ball at its highest point in a marking contest. And because he is so big, like he is a tall guy, no defender can get his hands to the ball when he's taking it at that point.
Yeah.
That he's going to get a free kick because they're chopping his arms. They're coming across, they're taking his head, trying to get near that ball that they can't. He reads it so well in the air. You're talking about Lynch being unable to read it. This guy reads it in the air. So yeah. The reason why we're getting so excited about King, and I think too excited, like people need to step it back, is because he dominated before his draft year and he's still showing those attributes in glimpses right now. If so, maybe string it.
Yeah, so maybe that's where I'm at, is that I'm hyping him too much.
You're hearing his name too much.
Perhaps hyping him too much, yeah.
Yeah, and it comes from the commentators and everything because they're excited and they want to be the ones who call that breakout game for him because they know he's going to have it.
Yeah.
You know, but he's not there yet and we just need to ease up a little on what we're expecting from him. But St Kilda are using him perfectly right now. He's not getting the number one defender. You know?
No, he had roughhead on him. Yeah.
Oh, he did. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But I mean, you'd probably say the number one defender is Howe, right?
Yeah. I mean, but when you're playing tall, yeah. I mean, because like, well, you think about, obviously coming from an Eagles point of view, when West Coast and Collingwood play, roughhead goes to Kennedy.
Mm, yeah.
And Howe goes to Darling.
Yeah, roughhead was on King yesterday and only held him to 8 touches, 1 goal, 1.
About his form line every week. And that's something that from a tall forward, you expect a couple more goals. But if they're kicking the same amount and getting the same amount of ball in wins and losses the same, you're saying, well, this guy's performing average.
He's doing what he needs to do. So let's look at some of the other players then. Dream Team Super Coach, obviously still side bottom, just tore it up. 31 touches, 1 goal. He also had 6 tackles.
And like we said, 31 touches in Corona Bowl.
Huge. It's almost 40. It's almost 40. And so he got 150 Super Coach points there. Then you had Maynard, 125, Crisp, 114. So those two halfback, those defenders there for Collingwood getting 2 and 3 spot there, 23 and 24 touches.
But which, what I want to highlight there is if you're actually watching the game, you can see why they got so much ball. It's because the pressure on the midfielders kicking the ball into that forward line, St Kilda didn't have time to think.
Yeah,
every ball was getting blasted away. The Collingwood defenders would just zone off, intercept Mark, and then run it out.
Mm-hmm. So on the other side then, Butler, as you said, 2 goals, 1. He finished with 83 Dream Team points and 124 Super Coach points, 88% game time there. And then Patton and Carlisle, Hill, there's not too much to write home about on the St Kilda side, is there, with Dream Team Super Coach.
Well, Carlisle, you look at and you say, well, the ball was in your back line so much, you had to be doing something.
Yeah,
you know.
So he had, and the reason why he scored so well is 20 disposals, but of that was 16 kicks and 9 marks. So that's why he scored well there. But someone who didn't score well, who you probably would have expected to do a little better, Membry didn't do too well.
Well, no supply is your issue for Membry, you know.
And also on the other side, Chris Lane, you probably would have thought he would have done a little bit better. Only the 13 touches there, but the thing is, he didn't. I mean, he was at halfback. Where he started at halfback, and they didn't need him to carry the side in the middle. So still side bottom obviously did that. Great. Well, let's move on to – I don't want to run out of time here. Let's move on to the next game, which started – there was 2 games that started at the same time, 7:40 Eastern yesterday. Let's start with the first one, which was –
Can I just say for a second here? I really wish they'd stop doing that.
Yeah, me too.
You've got enough spread – that you don't need to have a doubleheader on a Saturday night. Like, it makes it so hard. I'm watching games at like 11 o'clock that I know the result for.
Yeah, mate, start the first game in the East at midday and go from there. You don't need to do 2
they
games.
They used to do it last year, I'm pretty sure. They had like a Super Saturday where they'd spread them all out.
I don't remember last year having 2 games at the same time, and I don't like it. I don't want to see it. But the game that I'm wanting to talk about first that we're going to cover was probably the biggest upset of the round, you would imagine. Probably the biggest upset. Geelong being defeated by Carlton by 2 points, 11-11-77 to 12-7-79. Anthony, I didn't watch this one. I was obviously watching the Eagles game. You've probably rewatched this game. What did you think?
I have, yeah. So because I've got such a great life.
No, look,
so busy, so busy.
That's why I brought you.
No,
on.
I need to say to get the taste of the Eagles game out of my mouth. If I'm honest, mate.
Oh, I just got really drunk. Anyway, tell us about this game.
And this is the thing: all through watching the Eagles game, they had the little score in the corner on Foxtel to say what's happening in the Carlton. And the whole time I'm like, what? I was watching that scoreline tick over the whole time, being like, what's going on there? Like, I should change the channel. So Carlton have been getting lambasted the last week, with everyone realizing that their first quarters have been horrible for years, and it's been driven home.
Probably a decade.
Yeah, and it's like they said, well, you know what? We might actually have a chance if we play well in the first quarter, and that's what they did. They came out firing. And Geelong, it was almost like they weren't expecting it. Like, and once again, we say about, like how much the game's mental and how much is physical. And it, I just think they got jumped here and just took a while to get going. So in saying that, last week we said that Carlton got jumped by Melbourne and then should have won that game. It's the opposite in this one. Mm-hmm. Carlton jumped Geelong. But Geelong still should have won, because that last quarter, they were just peppering away at the goals, missing everything. Gary Ablett missed a goal from 30 metres out, pretty much directly in front of set shot. Gary Ablett doesn't miss those.
Yeah, he didn't have a good game. He did not have a good game.
No, but it's guys like that who you're like, you can usually bank that goal, you know, and to lose by 2 points and have six or seven opportunities in that last quarter where you're saying you should have kicked a goal there. Oh man, I wish you could show vision, because Hawkins kicked this goal that Radaglia jumped up and touched and pushed back into the field of play on the goal line. If he just shepherded it through, they would have won. But he's jumped up and knocked it back. Oh, I couldn't believe it. Like, what are you thinking, mate? You've just cost your team the game. Anyway, oh man, he's had to have money on Carlton. I think they're paying like $5.
So they would have been paying a decent amount. But so, Anthony, I didn't watch the game, as I said, but looking at the stats here, Pittenet, tell me about him. Tell me about him.
They call him Mr. Worldwide in fantasy circles because he's played for so many different clubs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, he came from Hawthorn last, I think.
Yeah. He's gotten around, and I think they called him Pitbull, Mr. Worldwide. You know, it works. Worldwide. It works for him.
Yeah, it does.
He monstered this game. Like, just around the ground, through the middle, and it comes back to Geelong just not having a recognised ruckman.
Yeah, and look, it's one of the things they really need. But even so, Pittenet had a great game last week as well against a recognised ruckman. So can you just put it down to that, or is he the real deal for Carlton?
He might be. I mean,
what's happening?
Yeah, I think Cruz is going to find it hard to get a game when he comes back.
I've never rated Cruiser anyway. But anyway,
look at that. Look, going through the scores and the stats and everything, the one I want to highlight though was Betts. Because Betts turned back the clock on this game, kicked two goals, but his pressure through the middle on the ball carrier, he won them the game in the last quarter by just putting this amazing amount of pressure on a two-on-one situation where Geelong should have kicked goal easy. I think he laid about three tackles, a smother, all in the space of about 40 seconds, just until people came to help him. Like, he won this game for them. It was vintage Eddie, and if he does nothing else, he's already worth more than Carlton paid for him.
Yeah,
because he's won them a game.
33 years old. Turning back the clock. He might be older than you, mate.
Yeah, might be.
What, in the same year?
Keep that up my sleeve.
What month is your birthday?
Martin played all right. Cripps dominated through the middle. And that's where the ball got started and got going from, is that he muscled it out of there. And you look at the players that Geelong have in that middle. It's Selwood, Dangerfield. They've got some good contested players, but because they weren't getting the ball fed to them the way Pittenet did it, Cripps could take control of this game and control that midfield. Doherty off that halfback line just controlled the game from back there, running forward. He's looking really good. Talking about players coming back from ACLs, he's hit the ground running.
That was a real shame when he did his ACL, because he was, I think he was ready to break out, wasn't he? He was.
Well, he just had a breakout season fantasy wise. He was looking really good.
But as in, he was going to be big. He was going to be amazing for them. And it's great to see him back and showing those signs again.
McGovern, someone that you like to bag out. Two goals here and important goals.
Yeah, which is good. You like to see it, but I just don't think he's any good. I just don't.
Well, he stood up in this game and did all right. But yeah, so look, that's what it came down to pretty much, is that I think Geelong should have won this one. Geelong fans would have been thinking throughout last quarter, oh, here we go. It's over. You know, Carlton fans would have been thinking that in the last quarter, thinking, oh, yeah, this is the part where we lose. It's been a good game. This is where we lose.
Yep.
So for them to hang on was great, but Geelong lost this game because they didn't take their opportunity to win it, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah. So tell us about Jack Stephen. How'd he go?
Nothing. He pretty much blew a gasket after the first quarter.
Six touches.
Even in the first quarter, he looked out of breath.
Mm-hmm.
He needs another preseason. I don't think he ran at all during the offseason.
But also, he just got stabbed.
How
is he playing? How is he playing if stabbed like a month ago?
Well, the short answer is he isn't.
Yeah, how do you get stabbed and then a month later return? I mean, what is Geelong thinking? What are they doing there?
Yeah, I don't know. But he just was fumbly. He was not Jack Stephens. And this guy is good. He's a good player. I expect a lot from him. But
yeah,
he's got to get his head around something, because he wasn't doing it.
Well, and he got stabbed. So,
well, that too. How can you really rest on that though? I don't want to give him an easy out.
No, you can't. If he's being picked and he's ready to play,
once you cross that white line, you're a footy player. You're playing. We expect you to play like a football player. Is your house getting demolished there, mate? You all right?
It's just bloody mum doing stuff. I don't know what she's doing.
What's interesting about this game is that if you break it down, you can see the players who stepped up when Geelong got going. It was Selwood, Tom Stewart across the back line. These guys, Ablett had an amazing... It's almost like they said, oh, well, we're playing a game. Let's get them going now. You know, and then they stepped up. It's, I think Geelong would be really dirty with themselves here, and Carlton stole one, which kind of makes up for the one they didn't win last week.
Yeah, which as you said, they should have won. Melbourne holding out. But look, I mean, perhaps just Carlton holding out. Maybe the teams that get the fast starts are the one that win. I don't know. Yeah. What do you think? Do you think that's what we said,
if this game went the full time, I have no doubt that Geelong would have won.
Yeah, and I think that's what we are seeing, is that these shorter quarters are throwing everything out. And as I said when we started, I said it last week, 2 weeks ago, this week, anyone can beat anyone. And I wouldn't be surprised if today, and we're going to get to our previews in a second, but I wouldn't be surprised if Fremantle beat Port Adelaide today. I have tipped Fremantle. I've tipped them. I think they're going to play well. But before we get to that preview, let's go to there was no other games, was there?
I don't think there was, no.
No other games. I think Eagles had a bye this week. I think they had a bye. Anyway, they looked
like it. Yeah.
They did. Okay, so let's get to this game. Let's get to Brisbane, West Coast. Anyone that tipped West Coast here, did you tip West Coast?
I don't tip.
Yeah, okay. I didn't. I tipped Brisbane. I
bet, and I did put a little bit of money on West Coast, because anytime West Coast pays over $2, I put money on them.
Yeah, look, anytime I tip them or put money on them, they lose. So I don't do that anymore. But it doesn't matter. It hasn't mattered. This game, obviously, 30-point winners, the Brisbane Lions, 10-14, 74, 6-8, 44. The Eagles just... Look, what is wrong right now?
Say, even because obviously watching this game, we're both Eagles fans. We look into the game a lot. Watching this game, even at halftime when West Coast was up, I did not think they were winning.
I didn't either.
They were led off by Brisbane having inaccuracy in front of goal, and that flattered the scoreline. This shouldn't have even been as close as it was.
No, 10 goals, 10-14
to 6-8.
Yep.
There were so many times Brisbane missed and you're like, oh man, they really, really let them off there. Neil needs a Brownlow.
Oh, he's
my God, he's getting good.
It. He's getting it. I mean, if we go on the first three rounds alone, who else is in contention for it? Seriously.
Oh, yeah, no. He's not. It's that he's so consistent as well. Yeah. But my God, that pickup through the middle at his feet, and then fired out the handball to McCluggage on the outside, just as he was falling, he's just so clean below his. Oh my
God, he's brilliant. And
sorry, I just
none of the Eagles are clean below their feet, really. I don't even want to talk about what's wrong with the Eagles.
All right, we will, because this is rubbish. What we do. It's what we do. Obviously, I analyze stats a lot. I look into game setups and everything, and there's only so much you can read from that. But to be down in contested possessions, ground ball differentials, it's that all just spells wanting the ball first.
Mm-hmm.
They even lost that in round one to Melbourne when they blitzed them.
Yep.
You know, if it's not clean, they don't want a bar of it.
Yep.
And that's a mental thing for one. So that's, I think, park that issue as, all right, well, if it's not clean, they're going to struggle. And then put it with this whole bloody hub situation. Like, I don't want to say they're acting spoiled or whatever the go is, but they just don't look like they want to be on the footy field.
No, they don't. And I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch them play because it's pretty appalling to see their attitudes out on the field.
It's one of those things where you say that talent doesn't just disappear. Talent doesn't just go away. And this is a talented team.
It is.
You know, it's not the whole team, but there are still players out there who you were saying you are trying your absolute hardest.
Brad Shepherd.
Charlie Cameron.
Yeah.
Was amazing. It just didn't have any mates. You know, you don't see people like Hearn fumble as much as they do. Tackles aren't sticking. I've never seen so many broken tackles, and that's half-hearted tackles. That's what the issue is.
To be fair, I don't think the Eagles have stuck tackles a lot. You've got Yo and some in the back line, but you know, and we saw it when we won the premiership in the forward 50. Recently, I don't think there's sticking tackles. I
don't want to dwell on the West Coast here, but the three players from yesterday can hold their heads up. Shepherd, Gaff, and Nat Nui.
Mm-hmm.
They're the three who all game look like they'll give. Oh, look, I'm going to say Liam Ryan as well.
Yeah, three goals there.
Because he was like the only average forward. But one thing I'm going to just touch on here quickly before, because I want to talk about Brisbane, right, is that, because they deserve to be talked about.
They do.
Is that the thing I hate most about being a West Coast supporter are West Coast supporters. I'm sorry, guys. When you jump on comment sections afterward and you hear these coaches who are obviously amazing footy players and know everything about the game saying, oh, they need to drop this person. We need to drop Nelson. Nelson wasn't playing, mate. Like, you know, what's Brandon doing out there? He's not up to AFL standard. He's six games into a career as a tall player who was drafted as a key position player who is now being told, actually, can you play on the wing?
Yeah, exactly. It's not his position. He's learning and he's... It's not like he's an established player learning. He's a new player learning.
But he's not terrible.
No, he's not terrible.
There were some things he did yesterday that you're like, that was all right. And I think you got to focus on, for those players, the things they're doing right, not the things they're doing wrong.
Yeah.
Josh Rotham had a dirty game for a lot of it, but had an amazing kick into the forward line to Oscar Allen from that flank towards the end of the game. Petrucelli's the one that got into him. I thought Petch played a great game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like these guys, it's the next level coming through who you need to see that improvement from. You don't see that improvement by saying drop him for someone. You've got to give him a run. So look, I'm just frustrated at what I've been reading online. I shouldn't read the comments. I don't respond to anyone because I'd be there all day. But guys, get your head out your ass. This team won a premiership 2 years ago. They know what they're doing. Calm down. Yeah. With the good is Brisbane. Brisbane looks amazing.
I thought they were going to drop off a little bit this year. They haven't. They are.
But the reason they haven't is that their kids have taken that next step.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Berry brothers, you can't hold those guys down.
No, no. And look, Tom, not the best game, but is it Jared?
Jared Berry. Yeah, he looked good.
Oh, 3 goals, 2, 13 touches. He's good,
dangerous.
Isn't he?
But the also, he slipped tackles like no one was even touching him. Like, he had his own ball. McCluggage, actually, like, he's been a bit down this year. Stepped up big time. To do this without Dane Zorko, you know, they haven't won a game without Dane Zorko since 2012.
Wow, didn't know that.
Yeah, so, yeah, there you go. How's that? Throw that one out there.
So you got a game there too, mate. A. Smith, 37 points, 6
yeah,
touches.
Yeah, yeah. He had a great one. Backup ruck who actually looked all right when he was up against Oscar Allen, but just dominated when Nick Nat was in there.
Yeah.
Rayner did some all right things too. He's one player who people are like, oh, he's not really developing, not really getting there. But Brisbane are just giving him every game to try and get up there, you know, because he is good. I did like having Luke Hodge in the commentary because he was giving a real insight into Brisbane or even Birchall across that back line.
I'm a big fan Starcevic. Of Starcevic. I'm a big fan.
Starcevic is a player. He's a huge fan. Someone who in his junior years was a midfielder and he's been asked to play as a defender. But you can see he's just got that want for the ball so that even when he's playing as a defender, he's like, oh, no, I'm going to run off and I can get the ball here.
Because they had him at a half-forward role for the game as well. No.
He was running up and not being followed up there. I swear he played. Sure? Yeah, positive, mate. He was getting his possessions forward of 50. Yeah, no, he was playing as a defender and running up. I know this because he's in my fantasy team and I watch him very closely.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. No, that's good.
Just like you watch Lynch. And the hard thing is when you're watching your fantasy players play against the team you support,
you're watching them
and you're like, I want you to get the ball, but yeah okay, kick the goal because you're doing well for me, but come on, man. Like, he kicked the goal, I think, on the siren at halftime that brought them closer or something. Like, he's a player. Good ball user too.
I think they had him in the midfield last week, didn't they?
Starcevic?
Yeah, Starcevic. Or was he playing defense? I just remember watching him a lot on the wing.
Gets a lot of the ball. No, that's what I mean. He runs off, man. He probably does he probably does rotate through, but he's got a license to run.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. How great was it seeing the Archie brothers?
Yeah, playing against each other.
They've definitely got the better Archie. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Look, I think the Eagles Archie has I think he's okay.
He's got a trick bag.
Yeah, he's got a trick bag, but I think
good
Callum,
mark, good handball.
He's great with his hands, but I think Callum is definitely a better player.
Yeah. Look, but it was good to see them play against each other, and especially seeing as Brisbane got him for nothing.
Yeah.
Same with Jared Lyons. They got him for nothing as well, and he dominated.
He's a good player.
But it's these players who Daniel Rich off that back line. Anytime he touches the ball, you're like, this is gonna be a good kick. Jeez, it's all right. Anyway, Harris Andrews dominated. You could go, like you said about Collingwood, you go through their entire line and you're like, every line is solid. The thing about Brisbane is that every line's solid, but their kids aren't recognized names, but they're performing to a level where they should be.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, Brisbane needs a lot more respect than they're getting. And they're going to have a great start to the year being in the hub up there, obviously. But
yeah, and I think they'll continue. I think they'll continue that once it opens up. If it opens up now with Essendon, you know, who knows what's going to happen there. But I think they don't get the respect. They're not a Victorian team. We've said it before, but non-Victorian teams very rarely get the respect. And even
the future here, regardless of how they open up the game, Victoria, blah blah blah. Brisbane's not going to have to travel to South Australia or Perth.
Yep. It's very good for them.
They've got a good year ahead of them, especially if they can bank wins right now, which they're doing. It's looking all right for them. Obviously, they went out in straight sets last year, but they went into that game with one player playing finals before.
Yeah.
For Brisbane.
Which, you know, I did call that they would probably go out straight sets purely because of that lack of experience.
But you've got a full team now with more experience
Yep.
getting in there. How's Mitch Robinson on the wing, by the way?
Yeah. He's just a stalwart, isn't he? He just keeps going.
You would have been watching his fantasy score racking up.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah.
I didn't care. No.
One thing I do want to touch on is that when the AFL makes a rule change halfway through the week, you always see it over officiated the first game back.
Yep.
And then they kind of like change the rule, go too far and bring it back.
Yep.
And we saw that with Jeddah's tackle on, I think it was Berry, where they said driven his head into the ground, driven him down. There's nothing he could have done about that. That wasn't a dangerous tackle. He was already going to ground. You can't stop a tackle when you're both falling already.
Yeah.
It wasn't even pushing the back because he grabbed him on the side. So there was a couple of calls like that where you're like, oh, come on, that's not.
Yeah. You're right, though. They do. They over-officiate it and they bring it back. But I think what happens more often than not is they do over-officiate and it has made the game worse over time. I think the game is, I mean, you know, everyone says this buzzword, the game's getting soft, and it is. It's starting to get really soft.
Did you watch the GWS Western Bulldogs game?
Yeah, but they don't want that, do they? That was just the players. That was just them doing it. The AFL does not want that. I want that. Bring it back. I want that. I kept saying it. Bring it back. Let them off the leash a little bit. They're elite footballers. They've signed waivers, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, anyway, look, the Brisbane Lions, very, very good, dangerous. And next week they've got Adelaide, which you would imagine chalking up a win there. Oh, but as I've said,
burial.